Okay, I just want to make a couple of recognitions. I just want to say thank you, congregation. You know, the number of times I've been gone, Ministry Assessment Center weekends and stuff like that, involved in Williamson Bible Institute and Board of Ministry. Kevin, you couldn't have done this better. Actually, they're in for Farm Show Week. And they've got their kids and Janice's parents all from Riot, Pennsylvania. But I first met Kevin going through that process, a high school teacher from somewhere out there in the West who sensed a call to prepare himself for ministry in the course of study. And he had to put up with me, you know, through Board of Ministry interviews and Ministry Assessment Center. But as things, life moved along, Kevin and Janice are now pastors of Church Nazarene in Riot, Pennsylvania. Kathy and I have connected with him at different times in pastors' retreats and settings, and just great, great people. And so I want to say to you, thank you. Here's just one opportunity I had that you helped me and opened the door to work with. Thank you so very much, congregation. And I want to say a thank you for all of you that have been working on the makeover of the parsonage for the Kazees. They will be moving in, at least that's the schedule, to move in this next week. Randy and Mike have worked extremely hard coordinating, leading the work of remodeling and taking care of that. Thank you, Randy and Mike, so very much. And with them have just been a whole group of you that have helped with putting the thing back together, and flooring and painting and fixing and plumbing. There was some electric work, too. Just a lot of work. Thank you so very much. Well, it is my last sermon with you. 30 years you've been putting up with me. Blessings on you, my friends. But on this week, I have but one major word for you. And it's simply this. Remember who you are. I keep looking to the back and I forgot that. Remember who you are. That's my basic line. If you do nothing else, remember. But I want to do a little play. I've done this many times over these 30 years, but I'm going to come back to it. You could probably preach this one. You are a church of the Nazarene, Jesus of Nazareth. Now just think of it, Jesus of Nazareth. When you think of Jesus of Nazareth, reflect on some of the titles that are given to Jesus, the Nazarene. Just go ahead, some of you, go ahead. Those titles that come to your mind, what comes to your mind when you hear that?
King of Kings.
Pardon? Counselor, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Pardon?
Savior,
yes, that's a great one.
Emmanuel,
Guide. They're just, my friend, yeah. Redeemer, Savior, Sanctifier, the one who did all of that for us. A church. Now, I don't focus on the Church of the Nazarene because, then we have to get way, way, way back in history. Oh, we're a part of a denomination that took on that title, a denomination that really emerged out of the late 19th century, coming into the 20th, with a focus on proclaiming holiness, but particularly ministering among the marginalized of life, struggling with poverty, alcoholism, addictions. With an emphasis that calls us to a total surrender of our lives to God, letting Him have His way in us, making us more and more like Jesus. But that denomination really fits into a bigger stream of history, the Protestant Church. But even that one gets into a bigger one. And finally, our history takes us back to the Nazarene, Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, once again, I just beg you, friends, can you get this? Please, never again call yourself, "I'm a Nazarene," or "I go to the Nazarene church." Now, I understand that. I have a challenge for you. You got it? You are a church of the Nazarene, Jesus of Nazareth, and then I dare you, live up to it. See, when it's just the Nazarene or the Baptist or the Wesleyan or this or that or the Catholic, we just sort of get caught up in all this mixture. But I want you to stand tall. I want you to remember who you are. You're not just a Nazarene. You are a follower of Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, Redeemer, Savior, Sanctifier, the one who came from heaven, died on a cross for our sins, resurrected and ascended into heaven, our living Lord and King, the one who is coming again someday. We are a church of the Nazarene, and here's our challenge. Live up to it. Just think about it a little bit. Think a little bit about how Jesus identified himself. Having an opportunity of meeting with synagogue in Nazareth, town where he'd grown up, he introduced himself using this messianic promise from the prophet Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free. The time of the Lord's favor has come. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this day." Friends, sometimes we get caught up and we feel that call to join in mission with him, you know, ministry to the poor. And folks, do you realize every one of us are here today? That's us. Poor in spirit, by ourselves. It's a word also to those in poverty that just wish they could catch a break in life. Our hope, the hope of our world, is Jesus. We have been the captives of sin, the blind to the way of God, the oppressed. But we are here today because of God's favor and grace. And before I send you out to go do something great, I want you to realize who you are. Wow. Recipients of God's marvelous grace. You see, we are the poor, the captives, the blind, the oppressed. We are the recipients of God's phenomenal grace and love. I don't know whether you just sort of in humility bow and say thank you, or whether you just sort of stand a little taller, sit up a little straighter. We're followers of Jesus and his love. Think of this description of who we were before Christ. Yeah, I'm playing a whole lot with that letter that you've wondered. I hadn't been here too long. One man said, "Let me look at your Bible. I think you only got two books there, Luke and Ephesians." Yeah, guilty as charged. We were dead in our transgressions and sins in which we used to live when we followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh,
following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but. Whenever you see that word but, take a look. But. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by his grace we have been saved. Stand a little taller. You, dear friend, are a recipient of God's phenomenal, matchless, indescribable love. The God who created it all loves you and me. Wow. You see, he makes us his church. Now, the word church is an interesting word. It comes from a word that means called out people. That's what it really means. Called out, an assembly of people, called out of the world to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You didn't stumble into it. God has called you and invited you. Whoever you are, God has called you. He has invited you. And you became a part of his church the moment you received Jesus as your Savior. All through the years, we've organized, you know, denominations and congregations and whatever. And you see, it comes back to we are a church. We are one congregation. We are not the church. We're a part of something bigger. We are one congregation, one of his phenomenal church. And this whole church is joined and held together. How? How? Not in the pastor. I can guarantee over 30 years I've done enough stupid stuff to divide this thing 20 different ways. And so have you. And a new pastor is not your answer. He's got feet of clay, and you know, he's going to make some mistakes too, and there's going to be some things you're going, what? Great guy. We're not held together in the pastor. We're held together how? Did you really say that? How? How are we joined together? You're catching on. You're getting there. It's all in Jesus. Oh, I'm blessed. We've had some great leaders through the years in our board. Thank you, friends. I know you put in a lot of hours. It's not our wonderfulness that makes us a congregation. It's our submission to Jesus. Submission to Jesus. Wow. Joined and held together in Christ. Now in that fourth chapter of Ephesians, there are some instructions of how to maintain the unity. Live worthy. Going to get to all of these in a moment. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Employ God's provisions. And just grow up into Christ. Let's look at these individually. First one is simply this. You got to be kidding me. Do you think I just sort of dug this one out and can't look? It's in every one of Paul's letters. Live pleasing to Christ or live worthy of Christ. First line of the Declaration of the Independence of the United States has a line in there we haven't lived up to yet. Never say if we could go back to the 50s or the 40s or the... No, if you go back, do real history, we've never arrived. We haven't gotten there yet. We never have. We don't want to go backwards. Study our history. Lord, no. We want to move ahead to what those founding patriots had in mind. Are we worthy of Christ and all he has done for us? And you're never going to be. But we don't stop saying, oh, I'm just human. Huh? He's given us his word. He's given us the scripture. He's given us the provisions of his grace. Live worthy. Start living up to. I've used the story before. I remember an evening as a teenager, I was getting ready to go out with some kids for an evening. And Dad didn't say, he didn't set a time to be in. He just said, Steve, remember, you're a Grosvenor. Live up to it. He didn't say another word. Dad, he was a very man of very few words. What do you think I was going to do that evening? Christians, recipients of God's grace, I dare you, live up to it. You're God's church. You're saints. Citizens of heaven. Before Christ, you were sinners, citizens of this world, followers of Satan. I just read it a minute ago. This is from the second chapter. Don't try to build yourself up so wonderful and I'm wonderful. No. It says we were all sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He doesn't love us because we're wonderful. He loves us. God loves us just because he does. Wow. And now we are followers of Jesus Christ. People were first called Christian because they were followers of Jesus Christ. Now, I know our world has diluted that term. Our world has made it a culture term. I know churches and people called Christians have diluted the term. I know that. I've tried to find different terms. What can we do? You know what? Every time I find another term, do you know what I found out? That term's been messed up too. See, the issue isn't what others think. Here's the issue. What do you think? What do you think? Don't ever use the word Christian about yourself again until you've made yourself a follower of Jesus Christ. People were first called Christian because they followed Jesus Christ. I know there's world people in this world that have misused the term. I know it. People in this world have misused the term American. I still am an American. People have gotten suspicious of that word marriage. I'm still married and proud of it. Got my ring to prove, to declare it. The issue isn't what the world thinks. The issue is what do you think? Just start living worthy. The second one is this. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now here's the interesting part. The unity of the Spirit. See, sometimes we get all unity, and we want to form unity. And what problem with that is, unity means you do it my way. See, if everybody does it my way, we'll be united. Amen. Until Rick thinks I have to do it his way. Right? Then we're not united. Well, which one of us is the real standard anyway? Well, neither. Jesus is the standard, the unity of the Holy Spirit. And so it says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another. Paul and I really got to put up with each other. There's a video that I love. It just has a unique way of illustrating unity. Would you take that away there? Sander, please.
Hi, I'm Johnny.
In that kind of a setting, no one. Sort of like the team that doesn't wear their names on the back of their shirts. It's a team.
There's one fallacy of this is it's only two people and they can use technology to reproduce themselves. Church can't do that. You don't reproduce yourself by technology. How do you reproduce yourself? Through Christ. Teamwork. The unity of the Spirit produces beautiful harmony and song. Wow. Third aspect is this. Employ God's provisions for that unity. They are there. First of all, there's God Himself. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all, through all, and in you all. Must have been a Southerner. One Lord, Jesus Christ. One God and Father. How did we begin that portion of that prayer that Jesus taught us to pray as His disciples? We started with our Father. That's an authority figure. Second provision is God's grace. Jesus, one of the triune God, came to earth as a child. Through His life, crucifixion, and resurrection, He defeated evil in the world. Now He leads us in His way, and He gives us gifts of His grace. Jesus is our hope. Paul says the third gift God gives us is pastors to lead and equip His people for ministry. You've been around for a while? One of my first sermons was this one. You are the ministers. I am one of ministers. You see, when you became a Christian, you became a minister. Did you know that? Cheyenne, you're a minister. Did you know that? Yeah. Skip, you're a minister. Did you know that? The moment you received Christ Jesus as your Savior, you accepted a mission to be a follower of Jesus. I've sort of gotten away. I don't like the phrase accepting Jesus as Savior. It's got a great truth, but it's too limited and too diluted. What I receive, I got another Christmas present. When we become a follower of Jesus, we're sent on mission. To be a follower of Jesus is to be a participant in mission. To be Christian is to follow Jesus as Lord. He has made you minister. We are all ministers, and God has chosen some, and He calls them to be pastors. Actually, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor teachers, whose job is to equip you to do the ministry. I am not the minister, and nor have I been the minister of this church. Did you know that? You did know that, didn't you? I am not the minister. I am one of you. My job is to equip you to be the ministers and to set you free. There's a memory that I have. It's been many, many years ago. A man came to me and said, I've got a friend, he's dying, and I need you to go visit him and lead him to Christ. Well, I had several things going on, and I just didn't get there and didn't get there and didn't get there. And it was 2 weeks later, and you'd have thought as a pastor I'd have been more put together, don't you? But I didn't. So I have stopped him one day. I said, well, how's... He said, well, you know, I realized you didn't get there. I got the emphasis. So I had to share it with him. And you know what? He got saved before he died. And inside of me, I erupted with praise. I tried to be nice so that, you know, guess what? It happened just the way it's supposed to. It wasn't me running to do the job. This man finally had to do what God called him to do with his friend in the first place, which was introduce him to Jesus. You aren't calling a pastor to do your ministry in this world to you and your family. That's your job. You got it? Did you catch the finger yet? You have not hired an employee to work as your pastor. Did you know that? You see, my standard is this. You have called Pastor Rob Kazee, an ordained minister, to be your pastor, to equip you to do ministry God has called you to do. I understand in nonprofit terms we use the word volunteer a lot. I hate it with a passion. I understand what they're saying, and it understands. Friends, you are the ministers. And when you accept a ministry, yeah, it's a volunteer responsibility. It's an opportunity to participate in God's mission in the world through his church. Let's get this straight. You are not hiring an employee. You are calling an ordained minister to be your equipper. Scripture. Are you still believing in the Bible? Don't say it if you don't believe it. And don't claim it if you don't follow it. I've been preaching and preaching and teaching this over the years. You have not hired an employee. You have called Pastor Rob Kazee to be your pastor, to be your equipper, setting you free. I've taken the evangelism courses that teach you how to lead someone to Jesus. Guess what? They don't work. I've heard some of you. You've bought a new car. You don't need a course to tell somebody else how to buy that car. You just start bragging about it, and someone else says, I sort of like that. I've heard some of you ladies talk about a hairdresser. Now, you don't have a special way of telling how everybody else should go to that hairdresser, do you? What do? You brag on her. And someone else says, maybe. Who are you bragging on? Purpose of a pastor is to lead you in holy living through your faith in Jesus Christ within the life of the church and the mission of the world. I had a great opportunity to be a part of a conference one time listening to William Willimon. And I'd heard this description. I was playing with my doctoral thesis. So I had a chance to ask him. I said, what do you think about this statement? He thought about it, and William Willimon says, I like that. That nails it. There it is. Pastors have a big responsibility and a major challenge. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage, with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. A lot of people jump churches because they want to find something else that hears a little better.
They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge your duties of your ministry. God's provisions. And then grow up into Christ. That's the last step. Not only do you minister to your world, minister to one another until you reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Building one, what are you doing to build each other up? Build one another up until you become maturity. And Scripture identifies what maturity is, being like Jesus. Don't have time to play with that one. Standing firm and steadfast in the middle of the storms of life, they will come. Speaking the truth in love that builds up, doesn't tear down. All in Christ. From the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So, here it is. New Cumberland Church of the Nazarene. You're a church of the Nazarene. Live up to your name. Join in this prayer. Maybe it'll help.